Good morning, everyone. My name is Ryan, and today you have me in pixel form. As Etienne's on leave, and I'm on the East Coast. Actually, I'm not currently on the East Coast, but I will be when you're watching this. We figured we'd get a little bit creative and do a bit of a video sermon for today. Hence why my big buff head is on your screen this morning. So as a part of today's message, we'll be looking at a five-minute clip from the Bible Project. Tim Mackey, a name that might be familiar to some of us, has created an enormous collection of video clips explaining everything Bible. He's done overviews for each book of the Bible. He's done videos on particular themes and imagery found in the Bible. He's done hundreds and hundreds of videos, and he's done thousands of hours of podcasts as well, all of which are free online. They're a great resource for anyone who's keen to know more about the Bible and the Christian faith. So yes, I'm shamelessly plugging the Bible Project here. Feel free, check it out. By the way, their website, bibleproject.com, is way easier to navigate and has more content on it than their YouTube channel. All right, so this morning, we're going to be watching a clip about the Beatitudes in what is often labelled as the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. We read this passage just a moment ago. If you have a Bible here with you, please keep it open as we will be referring to it throughout this morning. Now, Beatitude. Beatitude is a funny word, right? No one uses the word beatitude in normal life, do they? What does it even mean? Now, the word literally means extreme happiness or a state of great joy. Now, while it may not appear all that obvious in the text, the way Jesus tells us to live in these eight beatitudes are the key to living a truly happy and a truly joyful life, which is a life imitating Jesus. Now, a life that imitates Jesus is not an easy one. But it is fulfilled. It is a joyful life. The person who does this is blessed, and not just some sort of tokenistic blessed, but blessed by God. Now, there's obviously a lot that we can chat about here on this passage, but I want to focus in on what Tim focuses in on the clip that we're about to watch. And that is the crowd to whom Jesus is speaking to. As we'll hear shortly, it is a crowd of nobodies, poor and sick people. The land is occupied by the Roman Empire, who's charging heavy taxes. This is a ragtag group that Jesus is speaking to. Now, at the risk of offending everyone listening to this, we're not too different. We too are a crowd of nobodies. We might not be poor and sick, we might not be occupied by the Romans, but we are a ragtag group. We're very much the everyday Australians, just as the crowd Jesus was speaking to were the everyday Israelites. Now, if you and I were alive when Jesus was around, we would likely be in this crowd of people that Jesus is speaking to as well. We would be hearing him speak to us just like those everyday Israelites were. Now, Jesus says some incredible things about the crowd in this chunk of text. He calls them the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill. All of which have incredible symbolism and theological depth to them. And just as Jesus speaks to this ragtag group in this Bible story, he's speaking to us today. Jesus' call to follow and imitate him in this list of beatitudes still stands. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill. What does that mean? Well, that's what this next clip explains. But before we do that, before we watch this next clip, let's just stop for a moment and prepare ourselves to hear from Tim and John and hear from God too. So let's pause for a moment to pray. Lord, you can use anyone and in any way to speak your truth and love into your people's hearts. God, help us listen to what it is you want to say today. I ask that technology and the way we are communicating this morning will not be a distraction to us. God, please give us open, receptive hearts and minds to hear and apply the truths spoken about here today to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to roll this clip from the Bible Project. Over to you, Tim.
Years ago, on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea, a teacher named Jesus of Nazareth went up onto a hillside and addressed a large crowd.
It was a crowd of nobodies, poor and sick people, their land occupied by the Roman Empire, who charged heavy taxes. This is a ragtag group.
And while they don't look like much, Jesus claimed that something surprising was starting with them.
So he opened his mouth and said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the skies. The kingdom of the skies. What does that mean?
Well, Jesus uses this phrase to talk about a new kind of reality. From our perspective, we see a world of violence and corruption where might makes right. But for Jesus, there is a realm where generosity reigns, where there's justice and peace. It's a world where love is the final word.
And that reality might as well be up in the skies. It's beyond us.
Exactly. It's God's heavenly reality, which might seem far off. But Jesus was claiming that heaven was coming to earth, right here and now, beginning with these people.
That's unexpected.
And so is what he says next.
Blessed are those who grieve, for they will be comforted.
So this group that's at the bottom of society, they know all about loss and grief. But Jesus said something's coming that's going to turn sorrow into joy.
And then he said, blessed are the unimportant, for they will inherit the land.
And these people are not powerful or important, but just wait, Jesus says, because one day it will be you all who are ruling the world.
You know, it kind of sounds like Jesus is trying to start a revolution.
Well, kind of, but it's not a revolution for those who are hungry for power or influence. This is a movement of people who are going to serve because they long for healthy relationships between people and communities and nations.
Yeah, as Jesus puts it next, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Just imagine it, a group of powerless nobodies ruling the world through generosity and forgiveness and justice. This is a Jesus-style revolution.
The next thing Jesus says is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And this one really raises the bar. To be part of this revolution, my heart needs to be so pure I could look directly at God?
Well, Jesus knows that all of our choices, even our good ones, are often driven by mixed motives. For Jesus, real peace is only possible through people who know that they need to be transformed if they're going to truly love God and others.
And this sounds wonderful, but it's a radical calling.
That's exactly right. In fact, Jesus goes on to explore just how radical it is.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
So God's new reality won't just happen by itself. It requires people who are willing to enter into the conflicts of others, urging and helping create a way towards peace.
But that way of life can be dangerous. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of the skies.
Yeah, entering into conflicts and advocating for peace, that's not a comfortable way to live. And so Jesus calls people to this peacemaking revolution, and he names the high cost.
Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in the skies is great, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you in the same way. What does that mean, the prophets before you?
Well, Jesus and this whole crowd are Israelites. And in their Hebrew scriptures, God promised that it would be through Israel that his kingdom would be restored over all the world.
But as the story goes, Israel becomes as corrupt and violent as everyone else. And they end up enslaved to oppressive nations.
But Israel's prophets stood up to these kingdoms and criticized their corruption. They said that one day God's heavenly kingdom would break in, starting with a small group of Israelites who would be willing to surrender everything over to God.
So Jesus wants this crowd to see that they're part of that legacy.
Yes, and that's why Jesus concludes this first block of teaching with three images from their scriptures.
The first is, you are the salt of the land.
Salt is a mineral that preserves food for a long time. And in the Bible, salt is used as a symbol of God's long-lasting covenant with Israel. Jesus is saying that he and this ragtag group are the launch party of God's long-lasting ancient promises to renew the world.
And then Jesus says, you are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden.
He's referring to the biblical image of God's light, his presence, shining out from its dwelling place in the temple in Jerusalem, which was a city on a hill.
But these people, they aren't the rulers. I mean, they don't even live in Jerusalem.
And yet, surprise, Jesus says, you all are God's salt and city and light. You all are the blessed ones, the new Jerusalem that's going to display God's kingdom to all the world.
Tim and John show us in this little clip that Jesus is saying some crazy stuff here. The ragtag mob of everyday Israelites is told that they are the salt and light of the world, a city on a hill. They are the blessed ones. They are the new Jerusalem that's going to display God's kingdom to all the world. They are the movement of people, powerless nobodies who are to rule the world through generosity, forgiveness, and justice. This is a Jesus-style revolution. Jesus has always used ordinary people to achieve his extraordinary plans for the world. He started with a small group of Israelites who were willing to surrender everything over to God. And he's now using the ragtag mob of everyday people all over the world to do the same thing. And Pathway is no exception. We are the everyday Australians, a ragtag mob, who Jesus has chosen to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the city on a hill. The Jesus revolution began with a bunch of nobodies, not kings, not important people, but fishermen and mostly uneducated people. Again, not to offend people, but look around you. The church, Pathway, all the churches around this city and even the world are not filled with kings or queens, prime ministers, governors or VIPs. They are filled with everyday people. Now that's not to say that Jesus can't include the influential and powerful people of today. He absolutely does. But throughout the history of the world, the overwhelming majority of people who make up the Jesus Revolution are everyday men and women. Everyday men and women that have been called to a radical way of living. A way of living that shows the world who Jesus is and his heart for others. That is you, that is me. But how do we do this? How do we live our lives in a radical way to show everyone Jesus? Now, Jesus started this teaching explaining how. Read with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, next week, we're going to do a bit more of a deep dive into the blessed are the statements, as they're not all immediately understandable to us today. Well, at least they aren't to me. So put a pin in that. We will come back here next week. But what we can learn from today is actually from the crowd that Jesus chose to speak to and still chooses to speak to. The everyday folks, you and me, everyday, ordinary people. Do you feel unimportant? Insignificant? That you could never change the world? Do you think that you're nothing special? Well, you're in good company. Jesus surrounded himself with people just like that, just like you. Jesus began a worldwide revolution of love, grace, and forgiveness with the unimportant, with the ragtag mob, with a bunch of powerless nobodies. And he's still doing it. His strategy has not changed. Millions of Christians doing life differently all over the world is changing the world. Those little Jesus conversations you have with your workmates or your friends or your family members, they matter. The way you parent your kids to strive and show them Jesus, that matters. The way you faithfully do your best at school or in the home or at work to bring glory to God, that matters. The way you run your small business and treat your employees in a way that Jesus would, that matters. The way you faithfully put aside a bit of time each day to read the Bible and pray and seek God, that matters. The little things that you and I do each and every day that show others Jesus really matter. That is how this worldwide Jesus movement has grown and continues to grow to this very day. Even in the man Jesus, we see, humanly speaking at least, a powerless nobody. Yes, he's the Son of God, and yes, he's all powerful, but humanly speaking, think about it. He was a nomad, and on the surface at least, just an everyday Jew. He didn't hold a literal position of power in the sense that he wasn't a political leader, he wasn't a religious leader, he wasn't a king as we know kings to be, he had no palace, no crown of gold. He appeared to be a nobody, powerless against the rule of the Romans of the day. Well, seemingly powerless against the rule of the Romans of the day. And he even appeared to be powerless against the religious leaders at the time. What influence could a man who looked, on the surface at least, like Jesus, what influence could he have? Especially when his ultimate act ended up with him dying on a cross, the ultimate tool of humiliation. What a nobody kind of move. What kind of move is that? What happened though? This supposed nobody, Jesus, changed the world. He made a way for us to be right with God once again. He defeated sin by dying on the cross and defeated death by walking out of the grave. This nobody, Jesus, completely changed the world. He calls you and I to do the same. Don't ever think you are not influential enough to not have any impact. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. He tells the motley crew, he tells the ragtag mob of people this. He's saying the same to us. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. There are not many things more ordinary than salt. But it enhances flavor. It preserves. It does a lot of things. Because of Jesus, you can add flavor to the world around you. Because of Jesus, you can slow down the decay in the world. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are one of the many little candles burning in the darkness out there. It is truly, truly dark for a lot of people out there doing life. And in the darkness, even a small candle provides an enormous amount of light and comfort. You are that light. Jesus says you're a city on a hill. The city of Jerusalem is on a hill with its temple shining brightly. You are that temple. God's presence is in you. Be encouraged. You are, we are, a part of building Jesus' kingdom here in Devonport. Don't stop, because Jesus hasn't. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thanks that you use us, a ragtag mob of nobodies. Jesus, your example of humble service, ultimately displayed on the cross, shows us that you are not asking us to go places that you haven't. We want to follow you and live our lives here and now. Let's show you to the world. All throughout history, you have used very ordinary people to grow your kingdom, and you continue to do so today. Help us see what it is we can do in our everyday lives to show people who you are. Please give us boldness to share with others, to share the good news of the gospel, to be the salt, the light, the city on a hill. Jesus, we love you and want to follow your example. Please help us do this in your powerful name. Amen.